believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Boston and fell in love with running. He and Jim Fix are credited with starting America's running and jogging boom in the 70s. He's America's greatest marathon runner of all time, having won the Boston Marathon 4 times and the New York City Marathon 4 times. And he's also a prostate cancer survivor. His name? Boston Billy. Bill Rogers. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us, on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Bill Rogers, America's greatest marathon runner of all time. Boston Billy. Bill, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Jack, thank you for having me on your show.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
I grew up in, I'm from Hartford, Connecticut, and as a youngster there, I grew up, brother and two sisters, brother Charlie, two sisters, and we were pretty active kids. We rode our bikes a lot everywhere we went. We hunted a little bit, fished, so we'd walk a lot, you know. So we were pretty active kids in that sense, you know. And kind of an idyllic life, you could say, you know. But at around the age of 15, I joined our cross country team with my brother Charlie and good friend Jason. We it was a very low key sport. It wasn't a varsity sport at the Newington High School in Connecticut. But we had a really good coach, Coach Frank O'Rourke. He motivated myself, all of us. You know, we all did our best, and we had great fun with the sport. And cross country is a huge team sport in America and all over the world. It's one of the biggest sports in the world. It's big at the high school level and at the college level in the U.S. But at the time that I began, running 1963, just a few years ago. So it was much smaller then, you know. But there was still that kind of camaraderie you get as a member of a team, you know. And we just had fun with it. We didn't train as hard as the runners do today or quite as much, but we had a very steady coach, you know, who knew how to get the best out of us.
Bill, how did you ever get from cross country, 3 miles, to marathons, 26.2?
Yeah, I never, of course, thought I was going to run a marathon as a young high schooler or collegian even. In high school, though, I did watch the Olympic Games in Tokyo, 1964. When Abibe Bakila, the great Ethiopian, won the Olympic marathon, made it look very easy. And great Americans like Bob Scholl took the Olympic 5,000 meter, and Billy Mills took the 10,000 meter. And we had Jim Ryan, and we had Jerry Lindgren. So we had quite a bit of success distance running. And anyway, it was fun to watch that, you know, his sport that I was trying to do well in. But they were just slightly out of my league. I mean, I couldn't really comprehend running 26 miles. It was just a distance that is so far, you know. But in college, after college, I moved to Boston and saw the Boston Marathon. I lived right around the corner with Jason, my former Newington High School track club teammate. And we would just go over a couple hundred yards, and we saw the finish of Boston, which was incredibly exciting. Thousands of people were watching this, and I never saw anything like it in my life. My college roommate at Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, M.B. Burfoot, he won the Boston Marathon as a Wesleyan University senior. Despite that, I still wasn't motivated to run one. You know, I was more of a low-key runner. We were a Division III school, and we kind of ran for fun and as part of our life at that school, but it wasn't as intense as a Division I school. But Andy Burfitt wanted to win Boston because his high school cross-country coach and English teacher was a man named Johnny Kelly, who represented us in the Olympic Games and was the last American to win Boston. And so Andy did follow through on that vision.
The first marathon, Bill Rogers, you ever ran in 1973, you didn't finish.
No, I was a complete wipeout in the marathon. It took me a while, really, to get the hang of it. And it was a little tricky because it was a warm spring day. Boston is always held the third Monday in April. It's a Monday because it's Patriots Day in Massachusetts, and celebrating Paul Revere's ride. It's kind of an unusual state holiday. And anyway, it was too hot, and I didn't know how to pace myself. Today, when you run a marathon, they will have people who are designated as pacers for about every half hour different pace, like 3 hour pace, 3.5 hour pace, 4 hour pace. And Boston starts at the top of the big hill in Hopkinton, Massachusetts, and then runs in towards Boston. But that big downhill, it makes you run a little too fast. Anyway, I got very dehydrated and dropped out at the top of Heartbreak Hill at 21.5 miles. And I quit running for 3 months. It took me a while to get back to it, Jack, you know.
Marathoners talk about hitting the wall. What does that mean?
Hitting the wall just means you didn't pace yourself well and for that specific distance. When you run long distance, you really want to go at a very even pace. If you start running at a very erratic pace or at a very fast pace, in the beginning of the marathon or long-distance race, you can go into what they call oxygen dead, which simply means that you're starting to get very fatigued at a muscle cell level. And also you can become dehydrated, and you're sweating so much in this sport, particularly if it's warm. If it's over 70 degrees, it's a really challenging event. So you've got to drink your sports drink like Gatorade or water. Throughout the race, and be drinking that before the gun goes off. If you overdo it, then you maybe be getting hamstring cramps, side aches, and seeing stars a little bit, and you really feel kind of whipped. And sometimes it is smart to pull over to the side of the road when you are that exhausted, because on a hot day, you don't want to run into trouble with heat exhaustion or something like that.
We're talking to Bill Rogers, who's been the face of America's running movement for 35 years. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR, brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Bill Rogers, who won the Boston Marathon 4 times and the New York City Marathon 4 times, the only person to ever do that in history. Bill, marathon is 26.2 miles. Uh-huh. What does running a marathon teach us about life?
You know, I think there's a lot of different parts of the marathon, and a little bit depends upon what you're looking for from the marathon, why you're running it. You know, but in a nutshell, you know, there are some things that they sound like cliches, but they're really, really true. One is that, you know, if you persevere in training or preparation for this event, this long distance, which a lot of people, you know, it is very intimidating in a certain way to think of running that far, always a little intimidating, but that we can do it, you know. And that it's a doable thing, but it's just a step at a time, no pun intended, but to build up very gradually, you know, have your training partners use other races as stepping stones to build your strength physically and kind of mentally for the marathon. And if you do run the marathon and you have a terrible one, your first one, like I did, which most people don't, most marathons have finishing rates of about 97%. Which is incredible, but it shows you that human willpower that's there, and it comes out when everyone gets together and works towards this kind of a common goal, you know. And it's easier with a big group of people than if we were on our own, but I think it's also a huge celebration to to me, running and the marathon are like these ultimate celebrations. The marathon is hard, you know. It's a challenge. It truly is. But the satisfaction comes because you did it, you know. And you can't buy your finish of the marathon.
Only Rosie Ruiz. Remember her?
Yeah, Rosie kind of finessed it a little.
This was a lady that ran in the Boston Marathon and jumped on a bus after a couple miles and took the bus to like 24-mile mark, and then she jumped back in the race.
Yeah, I don't think Jack, that Rosie actually meant to try to win the marathon that day. I think she just wanted to finish, but she didn't feel she could because she had dropped out of the New York City Marathon some months earlier. And in fact, that's how she qualified for the Boston Marathon, which is the only race in the world other than the Olympics that you do have to qualify for. And so it's hard to get into Boston, but I kind of felt sorry for her that day because I won the men's that day, and she had a lot of pressure on her. And I think she really wanted to admit that she had made a mistake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if she had, she probably, I don't know if she'd be so famous or infamous today, but her life, she might have felt happier about things, I think.
I think the bus just went too fast, you know.
Yeah, the bus was cranking, you know.
Your best ever was a 2:09:27, 2 hours, 9 minutes, 27 seconds, mm-hmm. 79 Boston Marathon. That, friends, equates to less than 5 minutes a mile for 26.2 miles. That's unbelievable.
Well, I think running the marathon, my first marathon that I finished was 2 hours and 28 minutes, so about 20 minutes slower. But through, good training partners, I was a member of Greater Boston Track Club, had a great coach, Coach Billy Squires, you do get faster in this event, and everyone can get faster because your heart gets bigger when you're a runner, or even a walker. Your heart gets bigger because your heart's just a muscle, and it's a pump, and it can pump more blood to your muscles, and you can take in more oxygen, you know. So, but it's fun trying to get a little quicker and do your best. That's what it's about. It's a simple thing. It's really simple. But the complexities are when warm weather comes or wind or blisters or things like that.
I've heard from many great athletes that they learn more in defeat than they do in victory.
Well, I think if you're trying to do your best, you know, in a sport, you know, and you don't make it, and you wonder why, you know, what the heck, you know, you thought you were doing your best, you tried hard, and you still don't succeed, it knocks you back, no question. And it's happened to me. I've dropped out of 8 marathons out of 58 total attempts over 20 years or so, and I always try to figure out what the heck did I do wrong. And sometimes it's almost like fate, you know, it just wasn't your day, and someone else had their good day, you know, their best day, and you got to salute them. And then you just put things together and you come back, because you can always make a comeback. I really believe that, you know, I really do.
You've been quoted as follows, mm-hmm. To be a consistent winner means not preparing for just one day, 1 month, or even 1 year, but preparing for a lifetime. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think I have been a runner almost my whole life, except for a few years. I quit, actually, after college. But after that, when I got into the marathon, I knew to do my best, I had to be steady with it. It wasn't that I had to be spectacularly fast in my training, but just steady. And I learned that from my Wesleyan teammate, Ambie Burfoot, you know, just told me, try to be consistent, you know, and that does make you stronger, there's no question. So I think I lucked out that way, but I just love the sport, and it's been fun, and I don't know, I think if you can be consistent, you will avoid injuries, and that will get you to the starting line. That's the key, Jack, is getting to the starting line of the race. Then when the gun goes off, the race itself is not so tough, you know. But it's hard getting to the starting line. So you've got to find that time in your day, maybe when you can work out. And that's the toughest thing. And I think if you've got a 40-hour-a-week job, you know, that's tough. When can you lift your weights or do your run or your walk or play basketball or whatever? I think it helps if you've got a training partner, friends you can hook up with and work out with.
As you're 60 now, how have you learned to accept getting older and not being able to do the things as fast or as well?
I have no choice, Jack. You have no choice. But, you know, it's actually kind of fun, this sport in particular, and all these sports like walking or swimming, kayaking. I think the sports world in general is so, there's so many good medical people involved, and doctors and physical therapists and trainers and coaches. They really know how to keep their athletes active, and we all kind of want to live healthier, fitter lives today. We know so much more about that, those issues today. And so I think knowing those things, we can all find it easier to do that, you know. Whereas our parents' generation didn't really have information, like, for example, about smoking or something, you know, and or how to, as we get older, you know, we've got to cut back in the amount of training we do or work we do, you know, but you can still keep going. You know, you can get more out of your life if you are active. And we know that now for the first time, and the medical community and the healthcare community know that exercise, I hate that word, but I like to call it fitness or whatever, you know, just getting out the door. I really believe we're meant to move. And if we don't move, that's when things get really tough. You know, it's better to go out and try than to be knocked back, you know, by like diabetes or heart disease or something. That could hit any of us. But we just got to do the best we can, I think.
That's in the same vein they say that a ship that sits in a port or a plane that sits on the runway, that's the surest way for those things to decay.
So. It's absolutely true. You know, I really believe we're meant to move, use our bodies, and don't have to run the marathon. The marathon is just a quest. It's kind of a challenge, you know. Some people love hockey. Some people dance for their exercise, go out for walks. America really is changing, though. I mean, I travel all over the country, Jack, to about 35 races a year. And I've done that for 35 years, and I see so many people in every city and town I run in all over the U.S. People are walking, they're on bikes, they're just getting fitter, and it's great to see that. It's a huge change, and I think it's going to grow even more popular, because that's the only way we can really stay healthy and fit, is if we are active, physically active.
We're talking to Bill Rogers. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Bill Rogers, the America's greatest marathon runner of all time. Bill, these are tough times we're in right now, unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about using exercise as a way to help us get through these tough times.
You know, I think it definitely is a huge plus factor, because stress is tough, and we all feel that a little bit, the economic stuff, and of course we're having a national election, and not being a political person, but having been a runner so long and having had times of stress hit me a few times here like that, I know that it does, when we move, when we walk and run, swim, or bike, endorphins, chemicals are released in your brain, actually. It's an indication we are meant to move, and you are basically putting yourself into a better mood. And I really believe it's so key, because we need to shift from being a society that's too dependent, I believe, on medications and stuff. I would love to, I really hope, you know, that all the sports that are out there and the coaches are going to push for that down the road even more and more and more. And the Olympic sports, they have pushed that way, you know, to live your life, quote, without drugs, that sort of thing. But I think when times are tough economically, just to get out the door, go to your local running store or bike shop and start working out a little bit. It will give you a break physically, psychologically, and give you time to think about, you know, how you can handle this a little bit better. Maybe years ago, and before the sport went kind of professional, people said, Bill, why are you running so much? You're never going to make any money at it. You can make money at the sport. It's hard to do today, but I don't think that's why people work out. People work out for the physical and psychological plus results, you know.
What do you say to a person who says, I just can't seem to exercise or run on days when I don't have it?
Well, I think that's a valid point of view, and everyone has days, you know, you're really tired, especially like today when things are so tough and, you know, people are working hard to make a living. But if your employer, I really believe that our employers and the healthcare industry, we have to shift gears. I really believe this, and encourage people to have time in their day. Now, some people are really morning risers, and they really got that drive to get out there. Some people go on their lunch hour, and they go for a walk, you know. And I really take my hat off to anyone who does that, because it's so hard. You know, it's hot in the summer or cold in the winter. But maybe you go to a mall and you get a workout there. You just walk fast through the mall, or you go to a gym or a YMCA, a health club. You know, the YMCAs of America have started a national program called Activate America, trying to utilize the Ys to be involved in running and walking and cycling sports, and get people that are Y members to be active outdoors as well. And I think corporately we can do so much, you know, because, you know, if your employee is working out, they're in a better mood. There's no question that we've got the research proving it, Jack, you know, and I think there's going to be big strides made in this area in the future.
You know, you read the self-help books, you listen to the motivational speakers, and they all say you don't start something when you feel like it. Mm-hmm. You do it. And then ultimately, you grow to feel like it.
You get stronger, I think, from no matter what. And I think the key is, but I also think that no man stands alone. I think everyone benefits from a partner. For example, there's a national run-walk program sponsored actually by J.P. Morgan Chase, the big New York bank. They have had for 30-some years the Corporate Challenge. Thousands of people in cities across the country and now across the world, there's like 15,000, did the Boston Run in June. They're beginners, but it's easier to get out there with a friend or 10 friends, you know, and suddenly you're running and walking 3 miles. And you may have never thought you could do that, but with someone else helping you along, it's so much easier. And it's like you said in your show, anything is possible.
What do you say to a person who's badly overweight?
I think that's a tough thing, you know, because I've been in many races where I'm running with runners and they tell me, you know, hey, you know, I lost 100 pounds. And I've met people quite a lot like that or overcame some really tough sort of addictions, like heroin addiction or something like that. A lot of ex-smokers, you know. So this is what they call a positive addiction, so to speak, kind of a sport or a lifestyle. But it's doable, but I think you need, I'm not really sure, you know, I would say that's one of the most challenging things, but I take my hat off to people who make that move. I think it would have to come through a friend or a family member or their own determination that they're going to change their life, you know, and maybe they have a friend who, or they have children, they want to make sure, you know, they don't get sick, they don't get diabetes or something that really is going to hurt them someday. And so they go out and they get their running shoes. I have friends who have done this. In fact, there's a fellow from Wisconsin, he's one of our top ultra-distance runners, and he saw someone running by his house who looked kind of heavy, and he said, you know what, I got to get moving. And he went to a store and he bought some shoes and he started running. He became one of our best ultra distance runners today. He's been running 30 years now, you know. So once you do get into a sport, you know, it's just fun. It's just pure fun. It's not hard.
We're talking to Bill Rogers. When we come back, we'll ask him about something that happened to him in December of last year that really, really shook him. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Boston Billy, Bill Rogers. Bill, let's go back to last December. You're in Barbados.
Yes. Yes.
You're having fun, and you get a phone call.
Yes, I got a call from a urologist, went in for a PSA test. It's a test for prostate cancer for older guys over the age of 45 or so. And unfortunately, I was one of the unlucky guys. And he said, oh, you've got cancer. You got to come back and have surgery and so forth. So that was a shocker. You know, because being an athlete, you always think, you know, there's all these myths about sports. And one is that, you know, you always can dodge the bullet and you have perfect health. But that's not true, of course, you know. And I think our health is greatly enhanced when we are active. And we know that through the research today. But it doesn't mean that you might not have some issue hit you like that hit me. But I did have successful surgery in Boston, and so far, I'm doing okay with it. I'm very happy, you know.
Weren't you getting a physical every year?
You know, I pretty much did get a physical every year, but I'd moved, and for a few years, I don't think I did get my PSA tested. So you really got to watch it, particularly if you have a family history. Some people are more likely to have a chance of prostate cancer. African Americans are, for one thing. And I think I might have had a little bit in my family, but I wasn't really aware of it. But it's curable cancer, very prevalent, as much prevalent as breast cancer is for women. About 200,000 women each year will be diagnosed with breast cancer, and 200,000 men in the U.S. Diagnosed. But most of these cancers, today medicine is so advanced. They're doing such a phenomenal job, you know. And exactly why these cancers hit us a little bit tricky, you know, that they're still working on that. I think people like Lance Armstrong have done a great job in raising dollars in the running world. For example, at the Boston Marathon and all these marathons around the world, millions of dollars have been raised, you know, fighting cancer or other diseases, you know. So I think the sports world is doing its part, you know, but nobody's immune, you know, that's for sure.
You and your brother Charlie have a running center in Boston. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Charlie and I opened a store called Bill Rogers Running Center in 1977. It's really sort of his store. We co-own it, but he runs it. He's kept it going all these years, and it's kind of a shoes and running gear and watches and books we sell here, and try to give the specialty running stores. We try to give advice to people to find the right shoe for their foot, because everyone's foot is kind of like their fingerprint. It's unique. So when you're going to become an athlete, you're going to become a walker or a runner, go to a specialty running store in your city or town. And there are more and more of them popping up, because this is a growth sport. And if anyone is interested in a book on training, I have a book called Bill Rogers' Idiot's Guide to Running. And they could reach us here in Boston at our store or at billrogers.com. And I'm glad to sign a copy of the book. It's a nuts and bolts guide to how to build up to like a 5K, which is 3 miles, or 10K. You know, you can do your local Turkey Day race or something. You need a goal, I think, Jack, in this sport to get out the door, you know. And after that, nothing's going to stop you.
Bill Rogers, RODGERS.com.
Yes.
Bill, you've met a lot of famous people through your running. Mm-hmm. Who's impressed you the most?
You know, I that's interesting. I was very lucky. I met President Clinton and went for a run with him, along with Joan Benoit Samuelson, our Olympic gold medalist in the marathon in 1984 Olympic Games. And I really like President Clinton. I think he's really smart guy, very hard driving, loved running at the time. So I also met President Carter. After I won Boston with Joan in 1979, we were invited to the White House. I was nervous as heck, you know. But I really admired his views on energy and all this sort of thing. And I liked the way he works for Habitat for Humanity, you know. And he was a runner. So it was stunning. He kind of put us at ease. But that was definitely a thrill, you know, and a nerve-wracking one. But still an honor, an absolute honor.
They say that what you look like at 20 is God's gift to you. Mm-hmm. What you look like at 60 is your gift to God. And Bill, anybody listening tonight said, wow, here's a man, he has great enthusiasm for life at 60. Mm-hmm. How do you get that?
You know, I think in this sport, in these kind of sports like this, there's a lot of older people. There might be maybe 20 or 30 million Americans who are running and walking these days, at least. And probably half of them are over the age of 40. And this past weekend, I ran in the Hartford Half Marathon. They also have a full-distance marathon. And I actually got beaten by a 72-year-old guy, Bill Riley, from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and a fellow 60-year-older, Larry Olson, from Massachusetts. So you still get beaten. You take your lumps in the sport. But it is so much fun, you know, because you're out there with older people, too, and it's okay. I think we're going through a sports revolution in the United States and around the world, Jack, and these fitness sports, these health-oriented sports, are really changing our country. And so that's fantastic, you know, see a 72-year-old guy, and this guy is really fit. I'm like, whoa, it was a learning experience for me, you know. And so I think our society continues to change in many positive ways. And athletes are optimists by nature, you know, just I think the way you are, Jack. It's the way to live, I think.
It's kind of a dichotomy. A lot of people are more health conscious, but then we have so many of our young kids today who don't exercise. They're sitting in front of that boob tube all day. Mm-hmm. What do you say to those parents?
You know what? I think the internet and computers are a tremendous learning tool. We all know that. You know, they're phenomenal. I think we're such a fast-moving society, but I think people change. That doesn't mean that kid's going to be that way his whole life, you know? But I think a lot of kids, you know, overall, we do learn quite a lot from our parents or from a coach like I did in high school, you know, something like that. But people change. And at any age, you can become an athlete. And to those young kids, maybe some of them are going to become maybe the next Bill Gates, you know, an absolute academic genius, and I salute them. But I guess the ultimate ideal is to try to aim to be kind of like the ancient Greeks, where that balance between the sound mind and sound body, you know, and that's hard to do. I don't know. I think I've been I was trying to be an athlete, you know. I don't know that I was so good in school or something like that, but I don't know. You just try to do the best you can. You know, that's it.
Bill Rogers, thanks a million for being a guest.
Thank you, Jack.
Keep up the great work.
You've got a great show. Thank you.
I'd like to end the show a little differently tonight. I'd like to share with you a column that Mitch Albom wrote in the Free Press last Sunday entitled, "Will Financial Crisis Be Our Defining Moment?" As the financial markets tumble and America stands on the brink of a depression, people want to know, how on earth can we fix this? I know the answer, but you may not like it. We're going to have to be nicer to each other. Yep, that's what I said, nicer to each other. And before you dismiss this as simplistic drivel, ask yourself a question. If it's so simple, how come we haven't done it yet? Then ask yourself, what's the biggest difference between America now and America during the Depression? The difference is people back then were willing to sacrifice, to do without, to cobble through the hard times, and pulled together because they believed in the future and they believed in their country. We need to do the same, which means a change in the status quo, a change in our blame-someone-else mentality, a change in the hate-mongering that goes on from the right to left and left to right in the news media, in politics, in town halls, in barbershops. If we're going to weather this mess, if we're going to avert total financial meltdown, if we're ever really going to see brighter days ahead, then here's what we'll all have to do. We'll have to stop blaming the poor for buying houses they couldn't afford. We'll have to stop blaming the rich because they wanted more money. We'll have to stop screaming at Democrats, "You created this problem." We'll have to stop screaming at Republicans, "You're the reason this happened." We'll have to help the downtrodden because with our help, they may not make it. We'll have to look out for the elderly, because if illness comes, they can't wait until the markets rebound. We'll have to teach our kids that tough times don't last, but tough people do. We'll have to help our neighbor find a job, because next thing you know, it could be us asking for work. We'll have to take an interest in our community, because feeling part of something may be the only way we climb out of this. will have to get behind the new president, whoever he may be, because a country as divided as this will never be able to climb out of the muck. We'll have to find a laugh together in cutting back to one car or taking a local vacation or living with computer upgrades, because if we can't share a laugh over this whole mess, we'll just have to cry. The well-to-do will have to accept that poor people are not stupid or second class. Former high-flying executives are now out on the street, too. And those living paycheck to paycheck are not here to be taken advantage of. The less well-off will have to accept that wealth is earned. It's not a right. It's not something you're supposed to have just because people on television have it. You save, you sacrifice, you avoid debt. Those are qualities of admirable folks, not suckers. The comfortable must know that they don't help those in need. The needy may be pushed to the brink. The needy must believe that no matter what, you don't lose your soul over this, you don't steal, you don't rob, you don't break the law for money. These are depressing times, awful times. But they also can be times of opportunity. How many of us know a parent or grandparent who claims the greatest lessons they learned came from the Depression? How many of them hearken back to that as a time when we realized what was really important and we all pulled together? Our turn at that may be coming. If so, dial down your anger, help someone out, appreciate the life you have, knowing it could be worse. And slowly, surprisingly, this rainstorm may actually bring us closer together. I don't know if we're strong enough, but I know how it begins. Take a small step, be nicer to one another, stop seeing the next guy as your enemy, and start seeing him as your friend. A friend in need, a country man indeed. Mitch Albom. And boy, I second that nomination. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.